joining us online this morning for the live stream. I hope you came expecting. If you were expecting Pastor Debbie, I'm sorry to disappoint you. She couldn't be here this morning. She had something else to take care of. Let's open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for a beautiful day. A beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord, to study your word, to fellowship with other believers, to meditate on the things that you have laid out for us in your word, to help us in our daily walk, to help us in our enjoy good health and all the blessings that you have in store for us. Lord, I turn my voice and my mouth over to you to use as you would see fit and to deliver the message you want delivered this morning, and open the ears and hearts to receive. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. How's your hearing? How is your hearing? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 in the King James Bible. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Well, how do we or can we get the word into us? How do we get the word inside? By hearing it, reading it, or seeing it. Reading it aloud is really good. Or by others speaking or reading it aloud. We also can get the word into us by observing the word in action, by meditating on the word. And this is very important for our healing, meditating on scriptures pertaining to healing. Note, we're only using two of our five senses. You can't smell the Bible and get the word into you. You can't touch it and get the word into you. You can't taste it and get the word into you. You can read it or you can hear it taught or read and get it into you. So we use two of our five senses. There is one exception. If you can read Braille with your finger, then touch comes in. But that's not real common. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12, tells us where we get our senses of hearing and seeing. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. God created our ears and the sense of hearing, and our eyes and our ability to see. These are marvelous and intricate gifts. Today we're going to focus on healing, hence the title, How Is Your Healing? Could I have slide 2, please? Now I guess I'm standing in your way. I put this up to show just how intricate the ear is that God created. I don't believe you and I could build something like this. And call your attention to these little parts in here, which are very tiny. Now, what I remember from science class was they called them the hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup. And here's the stirrup thing. You see this resemblance. But the purpose is to take vibrations of the eardrum from sounds that come into our ear. They're funneled in through here, and amplify that vibration and tickle this this area of the ear, and which sends signal to our brain through these nerves, which our brain interprets as sound. It's very intricate, very delicate, can be damaged, of course. Excuse me. But we thank God we have it. And this whole purpose was just to show how intricate and delicate it is, and help us to be more thankful for that. In the Old Testament, when it says the hearing ear, the hear, the Hebrew word is shama. It means to hear something with one's ears, to give undivided attention, It can be both intellectual and spiritual hearing. To hear means not only to hear what is said, but to agree with its intention. That Old Testament word. Not only hear what it said, but agree with its intention. In the New Testament, the main word translated here is the Greek akouo. It's the usual word meaning to hear, but it also can mean hearing something or perceiving the message. What does perceiving mean? It means to understand with the mind, to comprehend. To understand with the mind or to comprehend. So here, you may hear a sound, you may hear my words, and if you don't comprehend them, they're not going to do you much good, are they? Do we always perceive the messages pertaining to our healing that are laid out in the Bible? In the Gospels, Jesus often concluded a parable or teaching with the phrase, "Him that hath ears to hear, let him hear," or a very similar statement. This occurs 8 times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and another 8 times in the book of Revelation. Jesus had other comments pertaining to healing. So we're going to look at some of them. And we're going to start with Matthew chapter 13, verses 9 through 23. Now, the setting is Jesus had just told this parable of the sower that went out to sow. And he told what happened to the seed. The sower scattered in different places. And he concluded that with, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear and heed my words." Now Jesus, spoke in parables. He didn't give the explanation publicly. He gave the explanation to his disciples privately later. And that's what we're going to look at. Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the crowds in parables?" Verse 11. Jesus replied to them, "To you it has been granted to know mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." I apologize. I have a parallel Bible and I'm reading from the wrong column. So you're seeing King James and I'm reading Amplified. I'm sorry. Same message. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and not shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, or gotten hardened, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes to see, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended." Now, Jesus is using an analogy here. The soil I've read, I haven't been there, in Israel, is very shallow in places. Maybe an inch of soil over a limestone rock. And from experience with dry weather, in your garden or your yard or whatever, if you haven't got any more than an inch of soil and it doesn't rain for a while, what happens to the plants? They may come up with a rain and then they may dry up and die. We've certainly seen enough of that this spring. that's where that's coming from. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. In verse 19, he speaks of the word of the kingdom. What word's that? Well, I would say it's the good news of both salvation and healing. And I know for a long time in my walk with the Lord, I didn't hear the part about healing. I wasn't being taught where I was. Just the salvation message. And in verse 21, when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. Tribulation and persecution, unbelief, doubt, ridicule. Think just like the drought for a plant on shallow soil. Oh, if you don't understand the word, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Meditate on that word. Turn it over in your mind. Study. Read it over and over. Ask our pastors. Seek other resources such as a concordance. I use a Strong's concordance at home. It's about 8.5 by 11, but it's about 3 inches thick. There's a lot of information in there about what the Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic words mean. And you can see nuances that don't come through in the text. That will help. Some study Bibles could be a big help to you too, with the footnotes and the study pages. And then last but not least, check some other translations if you have them available. You notice sometimes Pastor Chris will put up the same verse from several different translations, sometimes as many as 5 or 6, to make the point that various translators, the interpretations they put on the verse. I'm not saying that, you know, any one of them is completely right or completely wrong, but it can shed more light, and it helps me sometimes to consult a different translation, shed a little more light on what the writer meant, or we think they meant. Well, Jesus, in Mark chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. This is in the discussion after the same parable that we just read from Matthew chapter 13. But there's a little difference here. He says, take heed what you hear. What you hear is important. So let's look at what the Bible has to say about what to hear. And if I could ask y'all in the sound booth, can you put up the clock or turn it on? Because I need to keep track of time so I don't go over. Take heed what you hear. Are you hearing doubt, evil reports, bad news, condemnation, temptation, falsehood, lies, gossip, discouragement, unbelief, mischief? Or are you hearing good news? Thank you. Refreshment, encouragement, good reports, restoration, and gospel truths. This is important in the arena of healing. We must reject evil reports and all the other bad things I just mentioned. As we grow in the Lord and put what we learn to use, we'll begin to understand more and more the truth. The more we listen, the more we will learn. Repetition's a motor of learning. And every time I read through a chapter in the Bible, or read through a book in the Bible, I begin to see things I didn't see the last time and the time before that, or I may have forgotten. And so it behooves us to keep reading and keep studying. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20, in the King James, it says, "Hear counsel," and that's advice or prudence. "Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." What instruction? In this case, healing scriptures. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. "He taught me also and said to me, let thine heart retain my words." Now that's key, we'll come back to it. "Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding." Understanding. When you go back up to Mark chapter 4, verse 25, it says, "But he that hath, to him shall be given." He that hath understanding would apply. Get understanding so that you can keep what you learn about healing, what you learn from healing scriptures or in healing school or elsewhere. There are other good healing teachers too. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10, a little further down. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." This implies good health throughout life. The years of thy life shall be many. Hear healing scriptures, receive them, and then put them into action in your life. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 5. Now, Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. It's part of the wisdom literature, I believe. And he was known as the wisest man who ever lived. But he said, tells us in verse 7, chapter 7, verse 5, "It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools." Solomon reminds us it's better to face honest criticism and counsel than to enjoy the compliments of fools or of doubt and unbelief. If we speak the wrong things about our health, the Holy Spirit or someone else may correct us. Listen and apply. When we speak the wrong things and realize it, we need to immediately cast down those words, repent, and speak healing scriptures over ourselves or over others. Remember, confession equals possession. What you confess, you possess, whether it's good or bad. Have you ever sat in a waiting room and listened to two other people start to talk about their ailments and what's wrong, and one trying to top the other sometimes, it seems, or talking about what their grandmother's next-door neighbor went through? It's like, "Oh, they had such and such and such and such." Don't listen to it. Confess good things. They're confessing bad. You don't want to go there. Proverbs chapter 22. And by the way, Proverbs is part of the wisdom literature. And a lot of it was written by Solomon. But it's good advice for life, and there's good advice scattered throughout it. Chapter 22, verse 17. "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge." Hear and receive, and then apply. We fall down sometimes on the application, or sometimes on the receiving. You ever heard the saying, it goes in one ear and out the other? Well, we can tune out and not retain or latch on to what comes in that ear. Proverbs 23, verse 12. "Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge." What words of knowledge? Knowledge that we are healed and how to keep it. You possess what you confess, so keep confessing that you are healed. Recognize that that healing was appropriated. It was paid for 2,000 years ago, but it was appropriated the minute that you asked for it. And if you don't receive it and put it to work, you're not going to keep it. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus was speaking, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach or proclaim upon the housetops." What are you listening to? The Holy Spirit? Good preaching and teaching? Or is the enemy whispering in your ear? Are you preaching upon the housetops? We are to share the good news of salvation and healing, share healing scriptures, and share testimonies if you have one, or you know of a good one to share with people that need to hear it, because that is a very powerful in getting their attention and getting them in the right place. In Matthew 28, Jesus gave us marching instructions to his disciples, but he gives them to us too. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." All things. Salvation, baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing, and discipleship. All things includes teaching healing. And we don't see that often enough in the world around us. But in the area of healing, hear and receive what God has to say about sickness, disease, and healing. There are plenty of handouts on the table in the back for you to use if you need some help in looking them up. Just as important as knowing what to hear is knowing what not to hear. But let's take a look at some of the scripture verses that tell us what not to hear. In John chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus is talking about the sheepfold and being the good shepherd. "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Well, that's a good thing for the sheep. Who are the thieves and robbers? Don't listen to them, but how do we know who they are? Those who speak untruth, half-truth, evil reports, lies, gossip, rumors, false informations, and so forth, whose words do not line up with the Word of God. Well-meaning people can speak doubt and unbelief over you and your health and rob you, whether intentionally or not. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9 through 11, God was speaking to Isaiah and giving him a message that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." In the Amplify, verse 10, it says, "Prophesy deceitful illusions that we will enjoy." Well, this pill will fix what's wrong with you. Just send me your money. Order this off the internet. You know, you'll get this bottle of magic potion that will fix you right up. Take this brand of vitamins or this brand of supplements, or go see this or that doctor. I'm not saying all of these things are false, but some of them certainly are. We should not seek after the pleasant, easy things that are self-serving or contrary to the Word and the will of God. Often the truth can make us uncomfortable. We may prefer lies and illusions when they make us feel more secure. Do not close your ears, as these people did, to the truth of God's Word. Isaiah was preaching, prophesying to Judah. The northern kingdom, Israel, was already gone into captivity. And Judah was up and down. They'd have some good kings, they'd have some bad kings. They were in and out of favor with God, in and out of God's will. And you can tell from Isaiah's message, they willfully shut their ears to the truth, to the message he was bringing. And he tried to warn them multiple times. So did other prophets. And in the end, they lost it all. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul is warning Timothy about things to come and things he will run into. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. The Greek word that Paul used here, kanetho, means to scratch or tickle. It's used of those who, not enduring sound doctrine, seek out and heap to themselves teachers who will teach what they're itching to hear. Have you ever seen that happen? I don't want to listen to that preacher. He's getting too close to me. I want to go here, have my ears tickled over here somewhere else. I will find somebody else. Filter everything through the Word and be sure it's sound. In Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 3, verse 9, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. So don't waste your time hearing that stuff. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, almost the same thing. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Be careful what you listen to, including music. It can affect your mood. The right music can lift your spirits. And we see that on Sunday morning and Wednesday night right here in this room. The wrong music can depress you or worse. There's often subliminal messages in music. And the devil will use that to affect your mind, attack your mind, and get you off track. I want to share a story with you. I have a friend who's a building contractor for years. He also, before I met him, pastored a small church. He was very conversant in the Word. And I have worked with him on a couple of little renovation jobs for church. And he liked to have a boombox, a radio, playing contemporary Christian music, worship music, like we hear here. Well, he had his own contracting crew and building jobs, and he would put that boombox out there on the job and play Christian music all day long. And one day, one of his men came to him and he says, "Do we have to listen to that all the time? Why can't you put on a radio or some, you know, contemporary secular music?" And he wisely said, "Okay, tomorrow we'll play what you want to hear." So he did. Loud. He liked it loud, which made it hard to communicate sometimes. But at any rate, at the end of the next day, that worker came to him. And my friend asked him, "Did you notice anything today?" "Yeah, man, boss. The guys were grouchy all day. They were irritated, aggravated, rude to each other, in a bad mood all day long." What were they listening to? The trash of the world in contemporary music. And I'm not saying every song out there is bad, but they don't focus on things that are uplifting and a Christian, and that's what he wanted to do on the job site for his benefit and the benefit of his men and probably his customer that he was working for. I had another friend in college. We were talking about music, what we were getting to know each other, and asked him, I guess we got around to country music, and he says, man, I can't stand country music. Those guys are always crying in their beer over something. My girl ran away, my dog got run over, my horse threw me off, well, he was onto something. Now, he was in the secular world, as far as I can tell, but he was onto something there, that kind of, oh, woe is me music is not good for you either. It's depressing. So, if you are in the car and you hear the garbage come on the radio, turn it off. Or get your tape player, CD player, and put in some good Christian music, worship music. It'll make the time and the miles go faster. And it'll put you in the right frame of mind. Well, we talked about what to hear and what not to hear. In Luke chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus again is talking, and it's the same setting that we looked at when he said, take heed what you hear. Now it reads a little differently. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seems to have. Take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Are you hearing eagerly, gladly, trustingly, thankfully, believing, receiving, enthusiastically, convinced, convicted, praising, prayerfully, gratefully, happily, with your spiritual ears? Are you listening attentively, absorbing, positively, actively, or are you listening skeptically, doubtfully, questioning, fearfully, tearfully, in the natural, negatively, passively? All these influence our understanding, believing, and application in our lives, and our healing, or our ability to receive and keep our healing. So, your frame of mind to listen is important. Applying God's word to our lives helps us to grow, just as exercise strengthens our muscles. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. Solomon gives us some other advice. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, to be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. When we go to the house of God, we should have the attitude of being open and ready to listen to God, not to dictate to him what we think we should do. Be ready to hear. And when you're coming to Healing Center, be ready to hear healing words, scriptures, and prayers. In Proverbs chapter 1, he tells us, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. That word attain can be translated procure. A man of understanding shall procure wise counsel. Be willing and ready to listen and learn, especially to wise counselors. Wise counsel is usually heard, but it could be written, especially in the Word. What counselor is wiser than God? Proverbs and other wisdom literature is a good place, if you're looking for wisdom, to find it. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. In the Amplified, it reads, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, so that your ear is attentive to skillful and godly wisdom, and apply your heart to understanding, seeking it conscientiously and striving for it eagerly, Our responsibility to receive God's word, treasure his commandments, incline our ears to wisdom, and apply our hearts to understanding. In other words, study. Excuse me, study his word. In James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Be quick to hear. When we talk too much and listen too little, we communicate to others that we think our ideas are more important than theirs. James advises us to reverse this process. Listen more than we talk. I was in charge of a field day at an agricultural research center where I worked years ago. And in a field day, it's kind of like an open house, but we're looking at crops work out in the field. Okay. But, you know, you have anywhere from 50 to 150 people show up. Well, one day, our representative to the General Assembly at that time for the Northern Neck came to field day. And when we had a group setting like this, I spoke to him and welcomed him, and recognized him, and invited him to say a few words if he had anything he wanted to share. And he surprised me. He says, "No, the good Lord gave me two ears and one mouth, and I take that to mean I should listen at least twice as much as I talk." And he wasn't a lawyer. He was just an ordinary guy that served in the General Assembly for three or four terms, I think. But it stuck with me. Two ears and one mouth. Listen more than we talk. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Apply what you learn from listening to the word. Be fruitful. Be in good health. Share healing testimonies with others who need to hear them." In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which ye have heard, lest at any time we let them slip." The Amplified translation reads, "so that we do not drift away from the truth." Don't forget what you've heard about healing. Keep reading it and speaking it. Confess healing daily in order to possess and retain possessions. Remember, Christians are leaky. If we don't speak it, it'll get away from us. Okay, how to hear. Well, Jesus and the other writers in the Bible had some advice about who to hear. Not just anybody. Who should we listen to? In Isaiah chapter 30, beginning at verse 19, "For the people that dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the sound of voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of affliction, shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." And I take that to mean the Holy Spirit. He's our teacher and guide. And we need to get to the point we are listening for that still small inner voice. That voice he may speak to you audibly, but that's rare. But inside, in your heart, when you hear that voice, don't go left, don't go right, walk the straight path. Listen to it. And if you are having a medical issue, that's a good time to ask for Holy Spirit's advice in guidance and direction. If you need to seek a doctor, ask for guidance in selecting the right one, and don't be afraid to switch if you need to be. Nothing wrong with doctors. They're there to try to help us, generally speaking. But it helps you learn sometimes what you need to pray against and stand against in your confessions. we have to listen to him. Sometimes if we practice selective hearing and choose what we want to hear or believe or do, that's our flesh getting in the way. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, Jesus is speaking. This occurred. It's not Jesus speaking, it's God. At the Transfiguration, when he went up on Mount Hermon with Peter, James, and John, and the cloud overshadowed them, and they heard, while he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him." Of course, they had been walking with Jesus and listening to him for some time at that point. But God speaking to them reinforced the importance, and he's speaking to us too. During the Transfiguration of Jesus on Mount Hermon, God spoke directly to Peter, James, and John, and you can find similar accounts in Mark chapter 9, verse 7, and Luke chapter 9, verse 35. We're not going there today. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, there is Peter's testimony about the event. If God commanded them and us to hear Jesus, we had better do so, hadn't we? And that's the most important one to listen to. But there are some other people in our lives that we need to listen to. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." And this concludes both our natural father and our spiritual fathers. The instruction of a wise, godly father is very important in the development, growth, and belief of a child. And if it's not there, hopefully at some point in the future of life, a spiritual father will come along in your life that can help to guide you and give you some of that you missed. In John chapter 10, verse 3, Jesus is talking about the sheepfold and being the good shepherd. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Do we hear his voice? And do we respond? And let him lead us out to green pastures and still waters. Be not attentive to the voice of another stranger, just like the sheep. And later on in John chapter 10, in verse 16, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd." Jesus is talking about Gentiles who he came to save as well as Israelites. In John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." And Jesus said somewhere else that, you know, the words I speak, they are life, they are truth, but they are coming from the Father. He was just the delivery person. Well, who to listen to? Number one, Jesus. God's Word. And in the area of healing, focus on the healing scriptures, not on the advertisements on TV for pills. Well, it's important also to know who not to listen to. In 1 Timothy, Paul is writing some advice for Timothy in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Do you see that in the world today? Absolutely. There's lots of deceiving, seducing spirits out there, and doctrines of devils, more and more in your face all the time. Well, Jesus and the apostles warned about this threat. What about false information pertaining to healing? Think back 6 years from where we are today. COVID's coming to get you. You've got to go get this vaccine. You've got to do this. You've got to wear a mask. You've got to stay home. Stay away from people. There was a lot of false information put out there. And we won't go there. But remember that, see, and look at the furor it created, and some of the effects are still around today. And we need to filter things through the Word and through prayer to get our direction from the Holy Spirit, not from the television, the radio, the president, or anybody else. I think it's a good thing to listen to your pastor, though, of course. In Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 21, "And then if any man shall say, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things." That was Jesus speaking. Excuse me. Paul spoke to the elders of the church at Ephesus while he was on his way to Jerusalem. I think that was his last trip to Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 20, verses 28-31. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears." These were false teachers seeking to make disciples for themselves for whatever reason. We're not going to go there, but I've got Paul warned in 2 Peter chapter 2, he warned about false teachers and prophets. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he warned about scoffers who are willingly ignorant. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he warned about deceivers, signs, and lying wonders and delusions. We see all of that out here around us today, don't we? 1 John. John gives us some. Chapter 4, verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." False teachers were a threat then. They're still a threat today. But how do we tell if they're false? How do we try them? Compare their words to the Word of God. Do they speak of healing? And if so, does it ring true? In 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, gives us some guidelines. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, wherever you have heard, whereof ye have heard it should come, and even now already is in the world." In chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. We can get so caught up in worrying about all the above things, we neglect to practice preventive maintenance on ourselves. Daily Bible reading and confessions, healing confessions, but also other confessions like, I have the mind of Christ, I am a child of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but also he sent his word and healed me and delivered me from my destructions. Speak positive things over yourself and do it every day, several times a day. You can also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, and 2 John, 2 John, verses 7 through 10 for some more information. Three more scriptures, and then we're going to be out of time. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, Paul tells us to let no man deceive you with vain words. This word vain means empty, devoid of content. It stresses the absence of quality. The absence of quality. Let no man deceive you with vain words, empty words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Proverbs 14:7. This is a good one. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Or as the Amplified puts it, leave the presence of a short-sighted fool, for you will not find knowledge or hear godly wisdom from his lips. The characteristics of fools are found throughout the book of Proverbs. Don't expect help from a fool in receiving or keeping your healing. Read through Proverbs if you want to know what to look for. Be careful who you share and what you share with others that can be misconstrued, misspoken, repeated where you don't want it repeated, especially about your health and your healing. And because you may give them and the devil an opportunity to speak negative things about your healing. Oh, nobody's ever lived through that. Well, most people die from this, that, or the other. Whatever it is, don't open the door to any of that. Speak positive. And I've heard a saying that it's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. So be cautious and be careful and be wise in how you talk about your health with others. And seek out people that will be positive, reinforcing, uplifting, helpful, pray with you, pray over you, if you trust them for that. And keep up those daily confessions of good healing, good health. We're going to stop today. We're going to pick up probably next week and continue. But at this time, if anyone is here this morning who wants to have hands laid on you, be prayed for,